Hi, friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula Gordon. Corporations have become so important on the global stage that it's hard to remember business was once quite different. John D. Rockefeller Sr. was key to shaping today's economy. He was a true titan of industry, one of the first truly modern businessmen, history's first billionaire. As we live through another time of profound economic change, what do we have to learn from Rockefeller? Our guest is uniquely qualified to help us answer that question. He is Ron Chernow, author of Titan, a new biography of John D. Sr. What would Rockefeller have thought of today's business world?
Rockefeller, who certainly had his quota of greed, I think would have been amazed by the salaries that corporate executives pay themselves today. His salary was always very, very nominal. It was really tiny because he decided that he should make his money off the appreciation of Standard Oil stock. And I think that in terms of some of the compensation packages that CEOs are paying themselves and the deals that they arrange for themselves when they sell the companies, and again, companies that they manage, not companies that they own. I think that he would just have found that obscene, some of the stuff.
Ron Chernow is well acquainted with America's wealthy people. His first book, The House of Morgan, won the National Book Award and the Ambassador Award for that year's best study of American culture. Then Chernow took on The Warburgs, which also was widely honored. Now Ron Chernow focuses on John D. Rockefeller and Standard Oil. At the same time, Chernow documents America's dramatic shift following our Civil War from a nation of small businesses to the rise of giant corporations. As we faced similarly dramatic changes in today's global economy, Bill Russell and I welcomed the chance to encounter through Ron Chernow, a central figure in America's business past, John D. Rockefeller Sr. Ron Chernow, when we think about living in times that have great change, I had not expected to find virtually the last 180 years of American history wrapped up in one gigantic person. Did John Rockefeller take you by surprise, too?
Well, you know, this is a book of tremendous scope. This is a book about a man who lived nearly a century, created the largest business empire on earth, biggest philanthropic empire on earth. His personality continues to evolve from decade to decade.
So Which ain't bad if you've been dead for 60 years.
No, this was a man who was full of surprises, which was not surprising since he was probably the most secretive and enigmatic figure in American history. I figured that as I got into his papers that there would be plenty of revelations along the way. You know, and I had read previous biographies written about Rockefeller, and there hadn't been a biography for 45 years, and I felt that Rockefeller was absent from his own biographies. He was so secretive that he was a kind of ghostly and elusive figure. So I didn't know if I could really penetrate all the facades and disguises of this man, but I thought that if I could, how fascinating it would be, even if I could peel back a few of those layers of mystery.
You had access to things other biographers have not had access to, did you not?
Absolutely. You know, back in the mid-1970s, the Rockefeller family actually took all of John D. Rockefeller's papers, put them in an archive center, transferred all the rights to those papers to a team of professional archivists, threw open the doors to the public, and nobody came. I think that they must have felt that they were throwing the greatest banquet for historians of all time, and then nobody, you know, showed up at the feast. I showed up at that door in 1993 after the papers had been available for since 1975, but of course the archivist wouldn't let me go, and I was arguing with him. You know, unlike the usual biographer,
you're finally here.
You know, they had a live body. I thought that they would bolt the door behind me, you know, and force me at gunpoint to do the biography. But I actually spent this bizarre day there where I was trying to convince these archivists why I did not want to do Rockefeller. And they said, why? This is a fantastic opportunity. And I said, look, this man was so closed and so secretive that if I'm going to write a biography, I need to know something about the inner life of the man. I said, frankly, I'm not sure that this man had an inner life.
Falling trap to the common perception.
Yeah. So anyway, the director of the archive called my bluff by bringing out a 1,700-page transcript a Q&A transcript, verbatim transcript of an interview that had been done with Johnny Rockefeller in 1917, 1920. He used to be interviewed every morning for half an hour before he played golf. And here, suddenly, this man who had no voice has a powerful voice, and he's going on for 1,700 pages recounting blow by blow every aspect of his career. And the person whom I had encountered in all the history books was not only a ferocious figure, but very wooden and mechanical and a kind of sterile character. Here's a man who's very articulate. He's funny in a sort of droll Midwestern.
Thank you, Midwestern. Midwestern humor, Bill. Take note.
Not necessarily oxymoronic, but for most of us it is.
Very articulate and very analytic. And most important of all, here was someone who was very aware of himself as a historical personage.
Really?
Yeah, because people imagined, and this is true of Rockefeller's detractors or admirers, they thought of him as a glorified accountant with a little bit of ruthlessness thrown in. And in fact, here he is making these sweeping statements that individualism is dead, that he's the prophet of this new economic order that he called cooperation and that the rest of the world called monopoly. You know, interestingly enough, he never used the word monopoly or trust in his life.
Is that right?
He always talked in terms of cooperation. So anyway, and you could see that he had struggled to resolve his business practices with his religious views, and that he'd invested an enormous amount of time in rationalizing and explaining to himself his behavior in creating this gigantic oil monopoly. And yet, these are things that he had never bothered to share with the world, never bothered to tell his family, much less the press or the president, in terms of why he had done certain things. So that there was a very intense and active inner life that nobody had known anything about.
This is Ron Chernow. He's talking about John D. Rockefeller. And he's talking about America. We're going to be back in just a moment with the Paula Gordon Show, and we're going to talk a good deal more about it.